नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय रूपमे श्रीमते भक्ति
नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी रजायने
adjust that statement, and so the day has come in which we have to make this adjustment. And of course the adjustment is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is both male and female, and they're always together, and we heard how they are together, inseparable, just as energy and energetic are inseparable and so on. And at the same time, we hear, isn't it, that particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers celebrate, or they absorb themselves in the sense of Radha and Krishna being separated from each other. They're never separated. And yet, there's some feeling that they are separate. Well, I won't pursue that further, but the idea of the divine feminine. I think the feminists would like this. But there's so many different types, you know, types of feminists, so you don't know. But I think they would also like to hear our philosophy, that the reality is that all of us, including the men, are in a deeper sense of the feminine energy. We are prakriti. Yes, gents, let's face the reality.
It's true.
Confirmed by Dharma. It's true, he says. And this is something which is, this is a very radical idea. There's a lot of concern in our contemporary society. It's voiced especially by feminists, and now there's feminists, and there's also womanists. I'm not quite sure what the difference is. But of course, there have to be differences. But in any case, they have, I want to say, some very good points. And one of the points they have is that with our society being so much dominated by a patriarchal understanding of things, what has been the result? There's been just so much exploitation of nature, of the world, to such an extent that we can be seriously worried, you know, what sort of world will be there for the next generation and the generation after that. And that's another subject also. But what if all of this could be corrected simply by recognizing that all creatures, all living beings, are actually of the divine feminine energy. We are part of prakriti. And as such, our position, as we heard, we are servant. If we engage in service, then we are happy. Well, we discussed this morning something of the teachings through Ramananda Rai. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, as we heard, having Ramananda Roy as a kind of instrument. And through him, we hear about the glories of Krishna Bhakti, and specifically what we came to understand was that what is the aspiration, what is the desire for the devotees? It is to realize what is called prema bhakti. There are some Vaishnava traditions in which they say that the ultimate goal of life is moksha. And yes, in that experience of moksha, there will be feelings of devotion. Yes, that is all there. But they will protest when the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that yes, there is moksha, but there is something higher, there is something beyond. there is a fifth goal of life. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, and Krishna Prema. And this is all explained in great detail by Jiva Goswami in his Priti Sandarbha, just what it means and why it is, based especially on the Srimad Bhagavatam, that what we're interested in is pure love. We're not interested in liberation, moksha. So today we celebrate the appearance, the birthday of Srimati Radharani, and in this connection of understanding the importance or the aim of life as Krishna Prema, how do we get that understanding? We get it through Srimati Radharani. She is the... I'm hesitant to use the expression, but sometimes we say the personification of love. And I say this with hesitation because it almost sounds like there's something impersonal first, and from that comes something personal. But it's not like that. It's the other way around, right? It's the person, Radharani. Sometimes we understand she is the witch Shakti of Krishna, the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. So we might be thinking, oh, this means there's some kind of impersonal Ladini Shakti that sort of floats around and comes out now and then. And then there is Radha. But no, it's Radharani is Ladini Shakti, but it's not that we should think of Shakti as something impersonal. It's a kind of subtle point, but nowadays, especially in the sort of new age corners of Slovenia, is there a new age movement in Slovenia? Yeah, so, you know, they'll talk a lot about energy. Energy this, energy that, universal energy, we have to tap into the energy, good energy, the bliss energy, the energy, the energy, the energy. And it all gets quite, impersonal. But that's where they go wrong. Energy is great, but energy is first and foremost of a person, and that person is Radharani, we understand, from Lord Chaitanya, from Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one verse, it's in this chapter 4 of Adi Lila, where Krishna is reflecting about why he's dissatisfied and he wants to appear in the world in the mood of Radharani. And there's a verse, Devi Krishna Mayi Krupta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sanmohini Para. In a nutshell, it's telling us who is Radha. And I like to suggest this can be a very nice verse to think about how, indeed, we may access this kripa kataksha, this mercy glance of the Lord. So, Devi, right? She is goddess. Actually, the word Devi comes from Div, which means illumination. And again, the impersonalists will say, aha, see? It's light, it's all about light. No. It's Devi, it's goddess. Krishna Mayi, and she is consisting of, she is constituted of Krishna, her whole being. is Krishna, Krishna Maya. Not Krishna Maya, but Krishna Maya. She is constituted of Krishna. So if we think of Radharani as constituted of Krishna, as being her very life, as we also heard, Prananata, Krishna is the Lord of her prana. So her very existence, that is Radharani. Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta. It is Prokta, it is proclaimed. Radhika Paradevata. She is supreme among all the goddesses and gods. In India, people worship a lot of goddesses. Every village has its goddess, at least one. And in Vrindavan, there's also a goddess. Actually, there are many goddesses, but there is one particular goddess in Vrindavan who is celebrated. And that is, who might that be? Who do you suppose that would be?
Vrishabhanunandini.
Yeah, Vrindavaneshwari, we can say, especially. Many of you have been in Vrindavan, and you've no doubt noted that practically everywhere you look, you will see a sign. And if you, even if you don't read Devanagari script, after a short time you've been in Vrindavan, you know what this particular sign says. What does it say?
Radhe.
Yeah, some say Sri Radha, and some say just Radhe. But Radhe, Radhe, Radhe is everywhere. I was in Vrindavan one time, several years ago, at the time of Radhashtami. Have you been there at that time?
Not yet. No, yes. One time I was in Raval. There was a spectacle.
I didn't go there, but I've been in Vrindavan town on Radhashtami. And you really get a sense, especially on that day, but any other day in Vrindavan, who is in charge? Yes, it's Vrindavaneshwari. She is in charge of Vrindavan. And this is something which is a little difficult for us to grasp when we're not in Vrindavan. And therefore I would say it is one reason for us, why it's a good idea for us to long to be in Vrindavan. Why? Because there we can experience the sense of Srimati Radharani's being the goddess in charge. It's also said, incidentally, that just by longing to be in Vrindavan, you are doing service to Vrindavan. Who of you would like to go to Vrindavan?
Everyone.
Okay, so anybody not want to go to Vrindavan? No one dares to say. So that sense of longing, even if we, for so many reasons, we may not be able to go to Vrindavan, for financial reasons, for responsibility reasons, and so on, for health reasons, we can still long to go to Vrindavan. And that longing to go to Vrindavan, that is called Dhamma Seva. You are serving the Dham just by wanting to go there. But also we serve the Dham by remembering the Dhameshwari. So, Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. She is Krishnamayi and she is also Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. Now, some could also misunderstand this as meaning that somehow out of Lakshmi arises Radha. Nope. Got it wrong. It's the other way around. Radha is the source of all, not just one, but all Lakshmis. How many Lakshmis are there? Yeah. Lakshmi sahasra shatasam brahmasevya manam govindamari purusham tamam vajam. Yeah. We can also think of Lakshmi in relation to Radha, because what is our association of, what do we think of when we think of Lakshmi? Well, we think of Narayan as Vaishnavas, but dare we say, whenever we think of Lakshmi, we also think of what we often carry in our pockets, and we call it Lakshmi. So, from Lakshmi Devi, or connected with Lakshmi Devi, is Lakshmi. But what is that wealth? What is that? That is a symbol of abundance. And as we mentioned this morning, for the cynics, they only understand prices of things, but those who are not cynics understand value. And so understanding that Radha is the source of Lakshmi, and simultaneously understanding that Radha is Krishna Mayi, she is inseparable from Krishna, then abundance is assured. Abundance in the sense of understanding what is actually valuable. What is valuable? It is love for Krishna. What kind of love? Ideally pure love. And again, I mentioned this morning the idea of pure love. It rubs against our skepticism. Pure love, no, can't possibly exist. Why? Because we have an experience. Perhaps, yes, who is there who has not, as we say, been disappointed in love, right? And so one decides, actually there is no such thing as love in this world. Or one is a little reflective about oneself and sees, oh, just how impure my motivations of expression of love are. So we may become skeptical. How is it possible that there be something like pure love? Well, we get a little something like a formula given to us by Krishnadas Kaviraj to help us to see that there just might be something called pure love, and that is Agnendriya Pritivamsha Daribadi Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Darib Prema Nam. The desire to satisfy our own senses, what do we call it?
Kama.
Krishnendriya Priti Icha, the desire to serve Krishna, to please Krishna's senses, what do we call it?
Yeah.
Yes. So, but they are similar, and yet they are so different. It's the difference between, it's the similarity of there being two metals, but one of them is iron and the other is gold. If you have a choice, you have 1 kilo of iron and 1 kilo of gold. Which one will you choose? So we want the pure love. That is what we want. And yet our mind says, not possible, not possible, not possible. The gopis in Vrindavan were also actually a bit skeptical. Can you imagine that such a thing is possible? This is explained in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad. The gopis had been with Krishna and they had been dancing. And dancing and dancing, they reached a point where it was time to rest. And at that time, the gopis had a question for Krishna. They wanted to do some pious activity so that they could have Krishna as their husband. And they had heard that if they offer some very nice sweetrice to some Brahmin, then if they please that Brahmin, they can get the blessings that they may be able to have Krishna as their husband. So they asked Krishna, "Krishna, which Brahmin shall we approach to serve?" And Krishna answered, "Go to Durvasa, Durvasa Muni." You've all heard of Durvasa Muni? Usually when we hear that name, we shake and shiver and think, "Oh, that sounds like trouble." But in this case, it's no trouble. So they ask, where is Durvasa living? He's on the other side of the Yamuna. Other side of the Yamuna. How are we going to get to the other side of the Yamuna? There's no bridge. No bridge preaching. No bridge. Sorry. There's no bridge. There's no boatsmen. How can we go across? Krishna told, "You just go to the bank of the Yamuna and you declare the following." Yes, what shall we declare? You declare that Krishna is a perfect brahmachari. Perfect brahmacharis don't generally dance with gopis. But they didn't question Krishna. They just accepted what he said because it was coming, because Krishna was saying. Krishna's a perfect brahmachari. Okay, Krishna's a perfect brahmachari. How can we understand? Doesn't matter. We'll just do what he says. He says, "Just declare this and a way will be made, a marga, and you can cross the Yamuna. And you can go to Durvasa." And so they went to Durvasa after preparing wonderful sweet rice with ghee, prepared it with great attention, and they brought it to Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa was very pleased, and he very happily took so much of the sweet rice. He left something as remnants for all the gopis, but he took a good quantity. There was no doubt that he had taken a very good quantity. And when he was finished, he said, "Thank you very much. Now you can go back." And the gopis at this time were thinking, "We have a problem now. We don't want to upset Durvasa. We've pleased him. Now we have to be really careful. But how are we going to cross the Yamuna? We're going to have to ask him for direction, how to do it. And who's going to ask him?" And so they discuss among themselves, and a certain gopi is chosen, and her name is Gaurangi. Who might that be? Yes, Radharani. So they push Gaurangi in front. You ask the question. And so she asked, "We have this problem, how do we get back over the Yamuna?" And Durvasa says, "Very simple, you just go and you declare that Durvasa is Durvasin. He is one who eats only Durva grass. Or it can also mean one who is dur, who is distant from eating. Durvasa. Right. They've just offered him this, you know, sweet rice with ghee, and they've all observed, you know, not just one of them, but all of them observed that he had taken all of this. And now he's saying he didn't take, or what? How come he? So this leads to another question. Maharaj, perhaps you can also explain to us how, not only how it is that you are eating only Durva grass, but also how it is that Krishna is a brahmachari. Because we didn't spend time with him. Could you please explain this to us? Durvasa proceeds to explain in very Upanishadic terms about the difference between the Atma and the elements and the senses and the sense objects. And he explains in great detail about how he himself is completely separate from all of those substances which he has so-called consumed, and therefore it is to be understood he has not consumed. Similarly, Krishna, he is completely separate from all that surrounds all that there is, and therefore he is indeed brahmachari. And of course, brahmachari, he doesn't explain this, but the word brahmachari means one who moves in Brahman. And who moves in Brahman more than Krishna? He is Brahman. So there is no problem. Krishna is completely pure. So with that, they are satisfied. They get further instructions on how to worship Krishna, and eventually they return to Krishna. The point here was simply about this notion of purity. It's a stretch for us to understand, to real, but it's not understanding. It's about engaging with in the energy which is Radharani, by which we realize, yes, there is somewhere deep down inside in our hearts, there is a purity, despite all that we, all the layers, all the layers, layer after layer after layer of contamination may be there. But deep inside what is there, there is that pure love which Radharani demonstrates with her every breath, with her every glance, with her every everything. And so we celebrate, yes, Radharani, and we pray to Radharani, please give me that sidelong glance. And so there was one prayer here, the translation of the third prayer. Radha's eyebrow brows curving like bows suddenly unleash the invincible arrows of her sidelong glances, which pierce Nandanandana with amorous delusion and bring Shyama into reverential submission. In this way, Krishna eternally comes under Radha's complete control. This is further enhanced by Shrimati's crookedly bending eyebrows that dance with the most auspicious, sportive interest of the God of love. Radha, oh, when will you shower upon me your sidelong glance of mercy? The final line of the prayers that we sang is asking a question, and the question is kada, when? Tada, when are you going to bestow this glance upon me? And we think when we hear this, sometime, long time, anyway, that's life. But the mood of the prayer is kada, when? Tell me when. Even if it is a million years from now, let me know that it's a million years from now. Then I can look forward. Don't keep it a secret. Let me know when. Kada karishyasiha mam kripa kadakshanajana. The word bhajana can mean worship, but here it suggests acceptance. When will you accept me with your sidelong glance? When will you accept me? Kada. And we don't just want to hear ta-da, then. Sometime. Just now come. Yeah, so that longing has to be there. Takta kanchana gaurangi radhe
vrindavaneshwari
vishwanandu
paramami haripe.
Takta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari
vishwanandu
paramami haripe. I began this morning by talking about dharma, so I'll conclude also speaking about dharma. Na dharmam, na dharmam, shudigana niruktam kilakurum, raje radha krishna, prachura paricharyam ihatanu. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami advises us. Na dharmam, na adharmam, shudigana niruktam. Don't bother with this dharma, but don't bother with the adharma either. That is described in Shruti, in Shastra. Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Iha Tanu. Rather, worship with great attention Radha and Krishna in Vraja. That's the instruction that he gives us. So, what shall we do? Shall we just go on asking kada kada, when? Or?
Lolyam.
Yes, we begin today worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama.
Hare.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Thank you. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Asi Radhe. Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Oh, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radhe, Bharat Jaya, Jaya Radhe. Hare Krishna, we can sing many, 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 many times, and we should certainly not stop. I would like to just make three little points. First of all, I would like to tell you the history of Srimati Radharani's appearance on this auspicious day in this world. This is discussed between Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati. And Shiva explained that at this time, the high noon, he explains, in the months of Bhadra, Srimati Radharani appeared in the house of King Vrishabhanu, and the whole of Vrindavan was ecstatic. Everyone at that time felt that all their possible desires had been fulfilled by the appearance of this wonderful golden girl. Maharaj Vrishabhanu was so pleased that he gave ample in charity. He gave gold, he gave jewels, he gave silken cloth and fragrant oils, so that everyone was highly, highly blessed. I encourage you on this day to also try to give gifts in charity. Try to give each other gifts in the name of Radha. This is very good. I have been doing this the whole day. I'm empty almost with my treasury. Half a glass of fruit juice is left, but everything else is gone. And everyone was very, very happy, but soon their happiness mixed with sadness, because the girl, the beauty of Vrindavan, had not opened her eyes. Would she be blind for life? Around this time, Narada Muni arrived at the palace of Vrishabhanu and asked him, "O king, how is your welfare?" And he said, "It's good, the kingdom is going well, and by your blessings everyone is rich in Hari Bhakti." You know, this is very nice. When you are well, when everything goes well, you have devotion for Krishna, Hari Bhakti. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj, as a good king, took care that there was ample opportunities. Maybe there were brahmanas who were traveling and who were preaching and educating his people. Maybe there were temples and there was regular worship being performed. But everyone, somehow or other, got the impetus and impulse in his kingdom to for Krishna Bhakti or Hari Bhakti, devotion for the Lord. Narada said, but I see there's some sadness in your eyes. You look sad. Ah, said Vrishabhanu, my little baby girl has not yet opened her eyes. That's why I'm highly concerned. Narada smiled. And he said, can I see her? And Vrishabhanu brought him to this chamber in which the baby chamber, the child chamber, in which a little Radha was resting in. And somehow believing in the magical potency of a sadhu, he took the baby and gave it into the lap of Radha, of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni felt the thrilling touch of Radharani, who is also called Urja Devi. Urja Devi means power, potency, vitality, almost an energetic electric current. He became ecstatic. And at that moment, when he developed this high exalted state of ecstasy, Radharani chose to reveal herself. All of a sudden, she was no longer a little baby. She was a resplendent goddess, a devi, full of splendor and light. She was dressed in a blue sari. She had her hands in this dancing mudra. It's a very famous painting of her as she revealed her glories to Narada Muni. There were saints around her, glorifying her, many gopis serving her with chamara whisks. Narada Muni looked at her and he spontaneously prayed, "Oh goddess, oh beloved of Krishna, please shower your mercy upon me." Radharani said, "Yes, but don't tell anyone." And then the vision disappeared. Narada Muni was shaking, and Vishabhanu must have wondered. He's a saint without a home and without contact to family life. Why, upon seeing my baby girl and having her on her lap, is he so moved? And Vishabhanu said one thing. "Will she ever see? Tell me, will she open her eyes?" Narada Muni said, "Yes, yes, yes, no problem, no, absolutely no problem. You just make a celebration, you invite Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Their boy Krishna is now a little over, few days over 1 year old, and as soon as Radha sees Krishna, her eyes will open." Do you know, when Krishna had asked Radha to appear in this world, she said no first. Then she said, "Under one condition I appear, that I only see you." There's a saying in German language, "Angels are blind to the world because they only see God." No? Only God, nothing else. They are blind to everything else. Wouldn't that be a nice blindness? Well, you always say Haribol and Haribol, but I think you need to think a little bit about this. Only seeing Krishna, only Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Not seeing mobile telephones. Here the problem starts. So Radharani stayed in a room. The invitation was handed forward. And when Nanda and Yashoda talked with the elders of Vashana, then Krishna sneaked on his little legs out of the conversation, went to the chamber of Radharani, and then as Radha felt Krishna is there, she opened her eyes. Do you know the color of her eyes?
Blue.
Blue, yes, because she only sees Krishna. Krishna is blue, yes. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj asked me if I was at Radhastami in Vrindavan. I then remembered when he asked me, yes, I was. Can I tell you what I saw with my own eyes? See, I knew from the scriptures that Radharani had first appeared in a lotus, in a Yamuna, in a little village called Raval. I had heard this many times and I thought, let me see how the village celebrates Radhashtami. I don't want to see the big celebrations which are going on in Vashana, where many tourist buses come. I want to see the real thing. So I went, and I remember on the day, it was on the day before Radhashtami, I went, and then I passed an assembly of Brijbasis. They were shouting, and there was one person who shouted like a raging bull. It was the best wrestler of Vrindavan wrestling. And he said, and he shouted, by Radharani's blessing, I will defeat anyone who wants to wrestle with me. And he took on, I heard, when he was shouting and I was coming by, it was his 20th match. So I thought, let me wait and then challenge him. Because I know Western tricks, which he may not know. But when I saw him wrestling the first person down, I thought, I want to still do my service after this. But he said, by Radharani's mercy, I'm successful in wrestling, and to this day I have not been defeated. I liked his spontaneous faith in Radharani. So I continued on and I went to the Radha Krishna temple in Raval. They are very small little deities of Radha because she is a baby, and small deity of Krishna because he is a Lala, a little boy. I had been there before and I wanted to come to the room where I was before, but they said it's occupied, we are very busy. So I went up on the roof, I put all my things down on the roof and went to the Yamuna. When I came back, my dear devotees, there were so many devotees of Radharani. It was dusk time, and on the corner of the temple, there were some Brijbasis doing a yagya, a fire sacrifice, with which I learned through my dharmacha, they wanted to destroy anything inauspicious for the birth. You know, I am often asked when mothers give birth to the child and there is some complication, can you pray for me? And yes, as a priest, we do all kinds of services. This is one of the many, and we pray for a safe child delivery. So they did a yagya for a safe child delivery. And then in the night, everything, there was an ocean of people who were preparing for the next day for Radharani's appearance. And I remember I knew with my foresight it will not be possible to take a shower at the only pump. So I made a big 2-liter Bisleri water full of water. And in the morning I had my alarm clock at 3:30. I got up and I took my shower in the midst of all the sleepers near a drain. You know, these are flat roofs and they have a pipe, so when it rains the water will assemble and go down. Complained, and I knew a little Hindi. I said, Radha Kripa. Everything is okay, you know. They are very natural. And then, my dear devotees, I saw in the in the morning, everyone came together and did an arati to a beautiful painting of Radharani. And it was in the same painting, or this painting of the picture which Narada Muni had seen, you know, with this gesture, fully dressed with very nice ornamentation and this sign, forgot now the word, huh? A chandika. And there was so much devotion, how they were singing, how they were offering their hearts. And then afterwards, Vrindavan's most famous Leela troupe, these are they make a Krishna drama, performed a 5-hour long drama for the pleasure of Krishna and for Radharani. Everyone was just looking and looking and offering. When Radha came out, everyone went wild and Radhe, and they offered a plate with I remember bananas and an aratik light. And I'm mentioning it's stored in a secret corner in my memory. But when Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj asked me, it came out again. What I saw there, which was maybe much more important than all the nice celebrations and the wrestling and the yajna and the offering of a light and the drama and so on. I saw a spirit of natural devotion, heartfelt devotion, heartfelt offering. It was clear, Radha was the beloved of all these people. And today when we sang this prayer, it said, O Goddess of all that is natural and spontaneous. Do you remember? I believe in our devotion we are half dead. It's concepts, ideas, theories. We have not yet developed and invested our devotional feelings like gratitude, like genuine glorification, like begging for mercy with a trembling voice. And all these things, you know, a natural bhakti, not forced, not conceptualized, but very much flowing from a deeper place, which Maharaj said, when we really come deep inside and leave all the superficiality in which we are engaged, even in our so-called spiritual life, and we are going deeper and deeper, we might contact that place which is pure, which is real, which is natural, which wants to offer something and wants to be seen and accepted. No? Please accept my service. On this day, I remember my spiritual master who conducted us in an installation of Radha Krishna deities in London. He led us. And Prabhupada gave a lecture, and at the end of the lecture, I almost would like to play it, but now we can't find it so quickly. He says, be always careful. You're dealing with Krishna. Then his voice became very emotional and he spoke in the voice of a bhakta. Here, Krishna, I'm without value, but I have brought this thing for you. And then Prabhupada is over, you can feel, you can hear in the recording, he's overwhelmed with devotional feeling, genuine, natural feelings. And he said, please accept. And then he concludes the lecture. He gave us an example, and I would like to request you, celebrate today, learn this in the part which will come now,
as far as I have heard from our organizer G, I'm just looking, organizing person, it's Manditangi, do I see you with my eyes, or I can somehow, we will do now the offering to Radharani. What will we offer? Gilems, wonderful. We will offer Gilems. We will all have the chance to go forward and offer this with some, don't just circle, 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 pass, goodbye. you know, I did it. But try to offer something. Or maybe say inside your heart the Hare Krishna mantra. Oh, Srimati Radharani, oh Krishna, please accept my service. No, something genuine. Try to do, to come to this place we heard about. That's what I learned. I've never seen such a thing. I was really as a Westerner standing there and whoo, 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 whoo. I was just observing and I was saying, yes, please, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, bless me with some genuine, not imaginative, genuine devotion, some genuine feeling. I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful Radhastami. Now comes the good time, highlight time. Get your mobile phones out. It's good time to photograph everything. Send it on Instagram. You were here. And so on. But in all of this, have a little, oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, please accept me. Is that all right? Good, good, good. We will test you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radha Govinda ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Bol.